message that you are going to hear today is one that I originally delivered back in November of 1996, and it's taken from the scripture Isaiah chapter number 1, verse number 21, and I'm reading from the King James Bible. Heretofore, anytime you hear me addressing any type of message and I quote scriptures, unless I tell you that I'm quoting a scripture other than out of the King James Version, you will know that I am quoting the King James Version of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 21. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. The subject of the message for this part and probably part two is the prostitution of the church. In this message, we need to see just what God is saying about the way we live our lives today and just what the primary cause of all of our problems is. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says, "There is no new thing under the sun," lending credence to the fact that what is happening to us today. Remember, I was talking back in 1996, and here we are in 2022. What is happening to us today in 2022 is nothing new. It has happened before and will happen again if the Lord tarries. The same cause of our problems today with the immorality, crime, the hopelessness is addressed in the subsequent verses to the subject scripture. It is my sincere hope that after you hear this entire message, that you will no longer be ignorant of what you need to do. What is a harlot? A harlot is a woman who, for money or other gifts, will do whatever the person giving her the said money or gifts desires her to do. This is usually, but not always, along a sexual nature. Today, we use the term prostitute. Well, the subject scripture put forth the question, how is the faithful city become an harlot? The faithful city talked about in this verse is the city of Zion, aka the city of David. And just what were the main characteristics of this city? It, in effect, was the earthly representation of what the kingdom of God was all about. It was a place where righteousness, peace, and joy were to reign. Named after David, a man after God's own heart, it was a place where the reverence of God and his laws and statutes was its very foundation. when anyone committed sin, they were told to repent or judged and punished. That punishment consisted of anything from being whipped all the way up to death. Sin was not tolerated. When disputes arose, judgment was rendered strictly along the outlines that God directed. The fear of judgment and the knowledge that God was dwelling in their midst brought total peace and thereby joy. But something has gone wrong. This city has changed. Where once nobody, no person, would even think of committing sin, now it is everywhere, or more specifically, out in the open. It, in effect, has come out of the closet. There is no fear of God. Judgment has been perverted. There is no more righteousness, joy, or peace. Those that do good are victimized by the ungodly. The value of everything that they had that attracted people from all over the world, like the Ethiopian Queen Sheba, who heard of the wisdom and wealth of Solomon and came to see it for herself, was now little more than yesterday's news. You go down to verse number 22 of that passage of scripture, you see what I'm talking about. The influence of God had departed. What happened? Verse number 23 says it all. God is saying, your leaders have been corrupted. They have taken up with thieves. They all love to receive gifts and try to do whatever it takes to get rewards from not God, but from the people. In other words, whoever has the ability to get in the most money or the best gifts will usually be able to do whatever they want. To make it simple, they prostituted themselves. When the jest came before them with a complaint, they did nothing and sometimes punished them. People were taken advantage of like widows and orphans, and nothing was done. Now let's stop right here. Just what does this represent today? It represents a place or an institution where God's laws and statutes were to reign. It, in effect, was the earthly representation of what the kingdom of God is all about. It was a place where righteousness, peace, and joy, as well as the power of God, were present. The city of Zion, the city of David, has a new name. It is the church. That's right, the church. When the church first came into being, you go to Acts chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4, it had the total backing of God. It was empowered by him. Each apostle, having walked with Jesus, had understood what God wanted them to do, and they did it. They preached his word and enforced all things that God said they should do. As a result of this, the miracle-working abilities that Jesus Christ did while he was here continued in them. As a result of their first sermon, they put the fear of God into everyone that heard and understood what they were saying, and 3,000 souls were saved. Throughout the book of Acts, many signs and wonders followed them. The church was truly a place of righteousness, peace, and joy, and power, I might add. Just the way God designed it. Sin was not tolerated. Preachers would get up in front of their people and preach hell, fire, and brimstone. Signs of God's influence were there backing them up. Read Acts chapter number 5, verses 1 through 10. God's judgment fell on a couple that tried to deceive what they thought was just a man, but was actually a representative of Jesus Christ, and they paid for it with their lives. That is the way the church is supposed to be today. But something has gone wrong. All of a sudden, the church doesn't have the power that it had back then. There seems to be a total lack of understanding as to what God says is right and wrong. There is no feeling of guilt when a person commits sin. A God-fearing person goes to the preacher in the church and says that they were mistreated by someone else in the church, and they are told, "We all have to love one another. Forgive them." They are then looked down on as troublemakers, and probably forced to leave the church. Every kind of foolishness is now in the open in the church. People come into the church burdened down and leave the same way. It has become nothing more than a meeting place for all those that have ungodly motives. Why is this happening? The same thing as back then has taken place. The leaders, the preachers and pastors have corrupted themselves. They have sold out to the ones that can give them more money, gifts, and power in their communities. These men and sometimes women have left the things of God to pursue things that seem more readily available. All it takes is for them to overlook certain things or say that God doesn't have anything against what they are doing. Their message is one of compromise. Gone is the hell, fire, and brimstone message, replaced by the Burger King message of "have it your own way," talking about religion. Come one, come all. We are here to make you feel good about yourself. We have all sorts of good things that you would like to hear. Everyone is okay. It's not your fault, God understands. You can't help it. You were raised up in a bad community, a bad neighborhood, a bad family. You were abused as a child. You were born that way. God is a God of love. He is merciful. And He won't let you go to hell. Once saved, always saved. Preachers making folks believe that the preacher, can preach them into heaven no matter how bad a life they live. These preachers have turned churches into dens of iniquity, adultery and fornication going on in the choir, on the deacon board, and in the congregation, And like the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, they get puffed up and think they are doing into something, that they're really into something. And they are. Judgment. Verse number 24. God is saying what he will do about them. He calls them, the preachers back then and today, his adversaries and his enemies. Remember, we are talking about religious leaders right now. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 17 says, judgment must begin in the house of God. It must begin here, because these are the ones that are responsible for getting God's message out to you. And if they have corrupted the message by words or deeds, then the end result is that those that listen to them will turn out corrupted. Back then, the adversaries to the king were the priests. God told the priests to tell the kings as far as ruling over the people and in cases of judgment and preparing for war. The kings, before they did anything, always went to the temple or to the prophets to seek the advice of God. They knew the importance of seeking and hearing from God before they did anything. To do otherwise meant disaster. Therefore, if the man of God delivered a false message, then a catastrophe would result. It's no different today. If you will notice, many politicians make a habit of going to church so that they can appear to be seeking the counsel of God, while they are in reality seeking votes. Now, the fact that they come to a church makes a lot of preachers popular in their communities, because they figure their pastor has clout. Well, in case you don't know it, meaning you would have had to been asleep for the past 50 or so years, there is a big trade-off. Those politicians will usually attend churches where they know the message being given out aligns with their political agenda. And sad to say, much of what these politicians stand for, especially the ones with a jackass as its symbol, is totally against God. But because their pastor says nothing, then the people think there is nothing wrong. So they support that politician, and he gets elected and pursues the agenda he ran on, and somewhere down the road, it causes a disaster, and the people, as well as the politician, blame others for the problem. They never think that God put the brakes on their plans and not the other political party. These religious leaders, by not saying anything, helped destroy a city back then, and they are helping to destroy this nation today, 2022. But they don't care. Why? Because their popularity with the community grew. When these politicians visit their churches and give a good word to other leaders in the community, who in turn support the pastor. This in turn leads to larger congregations, which means larger offerings, which means bigger salaries. Well, we've come to the end of this part of the message. Stay tuned for part two next month, or should I say on the next part, we will see just what is happening in this nation and how preachers have caused the majority of our problems.